Hello, and welcome to BJGP Interviews. I'm Nada Khan, and I'm one of the associate editors of the BJGP. Thanks for taking the time today to listen to this podcast. In today's episode, we talk to Dr. Shamil Haroon, associate clinical professor and honorary consultant in public health medicine at the University of Birmingham, and Dr. Prasad Nagakumar, a pediatric respiratory consultant. We're here to discuss a paper they've authored here in the BJGP alongside colleagues titled Post-Hospitalization Asthma Management in Primary Care, a Retrospective Cohort Study. So thanks, Shamil and Prasad, for joining me here to talk about this paper. This paper starts with a description of the considerable hospitalization rate in asthma, but also mentions that after a hospital admission for asthma, these patients should be followed up regularly in primary care. Can you talk us through some of the recommendations for primary care from national asthma guidelines as to what we should be doing in primary care? And what did you aim to do here in this study?
Yeah, so perhaps I'll give the primary care perspective, and I'd be grateful if Prasad could jump in and give the secondary care perspective. So really, we should have a joined up approach across, you know, secondary and primary care. And I'm sure it varies, you know, across the country in terms of how well that's actually executed. But when patients get admitted to hospital with asthma, they should be reviewed within 48 hours in primary care. And the sorts of things that should be reviewed is things like their asthma management plan, their inhaler technique, what's their adherence like with their medication, are there any triggers? And, you know, do they have an adequate understanding of their asthma management? And this should ideally be done with someone who's, you know, confident in asthma management. In primary care, this tends to be done by nurses. And of course, GPs do play a role in asthma management as well. The difficulty is that, as we found in the paper, that patients don't get reviewed in a timely way. They're often big delays between when the patients are discharged from hospital and when they're actually seen in primary care. And I'm sure Prasad's got a view on what happens from the secondary care end and what the expectations are from the respiratory physicians.
Yeah, go ahead, Prasad. So talk us through what your expectations are when a patient's discharged.
Thank you. So the guidelines recommend a follow-up in primary care within 48 hours. And I think it's some of it is to make sure that the patient has recovered from that acute episode so that they're not, the symptoms are not getting worse. And also for them to, patients to understand the rationale behind how do they prevent from having further exacerbation. So addressing what we call now as an essential asthma plan, inhaler technique, are they the right medicine and follow-ups. Mm-hmm. I think from the secondary care perspective, as I said, as Shamil sort of started off saying, it needs to be a collaborative, a collective approach, bringing patients to the middle. So for us, think sitting in secondary care and looking at the current status of our health service, I think we probably have to take more ownership in secondary care, some of the things. So a lot of things which were previously left to secondary care, they are supposed to be completed sort of from over here when a patient is discharged before they're discharged from the hospital.
Mm. And this was a retrospective cohort study looking at patients who were hospitalized with asthma and then looking just exactly what we've been discussing, looking at what happened when they came out of hospital. So talk us through how you went about doing this. So how did you look at this cohort?
Yeah, so we looked at patients who had a record of a hospital admission between 2016 and 2019. And so we used hospital episode statistics data to look at the hospital admissions in children, adolescents, and adults, because we know that asthma does present differently in those different across the life course. And then we followed them up using the primary care records. And so we can look in quite a lot of detail to see what was delivered in primary care following that discharge. And we were particularly interested in the month after the hospital discharge, because we kind of thought a priori, it's unlikely that most of these patients are going to be seen within 48 hours. But okay, what about a month? That seems perhaps a little bit more practical and feasible to be achieved in primary care. And that's where our main focus was. But we did look up to 48 hours and 1 week after admission as well.
Mm. And this was a really big study of over 17,000 patients using these linked databases. And you look at asthma management amongst these three different groups, so children, adolescents, and adults, as you mentioned. But what did you find here? Did these different groups get any form of asthma management after hospitalization in that first month, as you describe?
They do, but it's highly variable. And we found that about 60% of patients get some form of asthma care, but 40%, we couldn't detect any form of asthma care that formed our main outcome measures. And this was pretty disappointing because we thought, well, you know, a month is a reasonable amount of time really where someone should be followed up, especially if they've had an admission to hospital, which is quite a significant event for someone with asthma. So these were actually patients who had been admitted to hospital. So these are the people who almost by definition have poorly controlled asthma. So we would expect a more timely follow-up.
And did you find any differences between those three different groups?
Interestingly, there weren't that many differences between them. Across the board, we found that generally that the most commonly delivered intervention was the prescription of an inhaler. And in children, that tended to be an inhaled corticosteroid, as you might expect. And in adults, it was more, addition of things like a long-acting beta-2 agonist. So there were some sort of subtle differences in the types of treatments they got, but kind of consistently across the three groups, we found that a significant proportion of patients didn't receive any kind of follow-up within a month. And very importantly, we did find that there were some inequalities in the likelihood of receiving treatment, and that was one of the things we highlighted in the abstract of the paper, is that shockingly, perhaps not surprisingly in some respects, given that we see inequalities across many other clinical domains, but we did find that patients from Black ethnic minority groups were significantly less likely to receive any form of asthma care after being discharged from hospital, which is really disappointing to see in the data. And I think there needs to be a lot of soul searching about why this is, and we need to try and rectify this, not just for asthma, but for healthcare in general. Why are certain population groups being underrepresented in the sorts of clinical services that we're offering? And asthma, I think, is a good case study for how this is manifesting at a population level. To add to that, we have performed large-scale epidemiological analyses, which show that people from Black ethnic minority groups are at the highest risk of asthma hospital admissions and even ICU admissions. So we're really kind of perpetuating what is already, a significant problem.
Really worrying findings there about the differences in poor outcomes in terms of asthma in these different ethnic groups. And we published a fair bit about the secondary and primary care interface here in the BJGP. And we were talking about the sort of handover from secondary to primary care after a hospital admission. And I'm sure lots of people listening will understand some of the challenges in even conveying that information from secondary to primary care. And as you mentioned, a 48-hour timescale seems really almost unachievable, given how some trusts communicate information. But I wonder if you or Prasad had any ideas about sort of the best way to transmit this information and how should this information be sent?
I agree that the health systems and where it's communicated is very different. And educating families, patients themselves, they're saying that sort of they need to take a little bit more ownership so that they can book, for example, the appointment. Because the 48-hour review, again, it may not be achievable fully, although we need to really, really press on and see how we can facilitate it. But overall, at least within a month, because if you can see, one way I look at the data is the ones who received the follow-up appointment within 4 weeks or a month, looks like the standard of some of the care what they received was acceptable, because they had, a lot of them had medication changes. For us, it's about focusing on improving communication, perhaps through much more nowadays we have the integrated care system, and there is much more work towards kind of in a way the IT systems talking to each other. So that perhaps we have seen in Birmingham that there is some sort of a movement towards it. So I can access GP record of any child within this region and click of a button on our system. So those kind of communications would help.
Mm. And Prasad, at the start of our chat, you spoke about some of the things that perhaps could be better done in secondary care in terms of helping manage these patients prior to discharge.
Yeah.
But what do you both think is the main take-home message here for those working in primary care? So if you wanted to send a message to GPs or practice nurses or those people organizing primary care services about what we should be doing for people following a hospitalization for asthma, what would that message be?
I think one thing that every practice can do is look at their asthma register, see who's been admitted to hospital, and just audit how soon after they were admitted to hospital were they actually reviewed in primary care. So at least it gives you some baseline data for your practice. Can be run quite easily within EMIS or System One just to see, you know, what is the state of play currently. And of those who are actually particularly high risk, like Prasad mentioned, you know, there are ways to risk stratify patients, and we should get better at doing that over time as we start implementing tools. You know, there are a number of published models now on how to do that. So we start actually implementing those in practice and then zoom in onto those really high-risk patients and provide them with a more integrated, holistic approach so that they are managed in a more timely way.
Of course, Prasad.
I think in the current climate, particularly post-COVID, how consultations are done, for us, and it's been discussed a lot, is the follow-up appointments, whether it's in the hospital or in primary care, it has to be face-to-face or at least a virtual video appointment. A lot of appointments are offered by telephone. It becomes, I think, really, well, it's impossible to check someone's, you know, adherence or inhaler technique just on a telephone. So I think moving back to what we were doing before, seeing patients, I think they value it. You know, what's the point of having a telephone review? So at least a video consult when the child is at home or adult, where they can show you actually whether they got their inhaler, which has been prescribed, and then checking their technique, I think it helps, if not face-to-face.
Great, that's really helpful. So two really important and helpful things for GPs to take back to their practice. One, to audit and understand the scale of the issue in practice. And then, as you say, Prasad, just ensure that these are face-to-face consultations, looking at what the children or patients are actually doing with their inhalers. Really, really important. But yeah, I think that's a great place to wrap things up. But just wanted to say thank you very much, both of you, for taking part today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
And thank you all very much for your time and for listening to this BJGP podcast. The original research article can be found at bjgp.org, and the show notes and podcast audio can be found at bjgplife.com. And if you'd like to hear more about current research in UK primary care, please do come and join us in London at the BJGP Research Conference, which is being held on the 22nd of March. The conference website is bjgp.org/conference. Thanks again, and bye.